Think so?
Good evening. Well, I'd like to introduce my good friend Andrew Roberts. And I don't know if you're aware, but now that Andrew is here, I am stoked. I am excited. I am thrilled. I am pumped up. I am fired up. I am excited. We want to take a few moments tonight just to talk with you a little bit. We know that this is new for the congregation to have two full-time evangelists. This is not new to have multiple workers here. In fact, I think from the very beginning, that's just almost always been the case. The exception is to have just one worker. But what we have not had is two full-time workers. And by full-time, what I mean is both workers being fully supported by the congregation, and the work in the congregation is the only work they're doing. There have been multiple workers who either had secular jobs that they were involved in that helped pay part of their life support, and they were also, in addition to this work, doing those secular jobs. This is the first time this congregation has had two men that are completely devoted to the work. This is the only work that we're doing, and the only support we get is from this congregation. And so we are excited about this opportunity as both of us get to spend some time lifting each other up. And we wanted to spend some time tonight just talking to you about the teamwork in the Lord's work. I want to remind you of some things that I shared with you just a couple of weeks ago as we considered this opportunity. In fact, tonight we've already read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 in our scripture reading, as it points out to us that two are, in fact, better than one. Somebody really got that lesson, because when I got home on Saturday, there was a poster that had been affixed to the door of my office with this verse that it said, two are better than one. It had two little bitty kids on it walking down the sidewalk holding hands or something. Andrew and I are not going to be holding hands.
I didn't put that on his door.
So, unfortunately, it fell off, but we did find it, and we'll affix it somewhere so that we can remember that. But Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil, for if they fall, one will lift the other up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We recognized a few weeks ago that this idea of workers in the Lord's kingdom working together is certainly a biblical and scriptural model. We saw that it's actually how Jesus sent out his disciples in Mark 6 and 7. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So Jesus, this is how he sent his disciples out. And we recognize that some of the early churches worked with multiple workers together, being supported by the congregation to accomplish the work of the Lord. In the Jerusalem church in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There were 12 of the apostles working together to teach the congregation. And then, of course, in the church in Antioch, we know in Acts 13 and verse 1 that there were in that church, Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. These five men working together in order to build up the congregation. Of course, what this allowed is that when the Holy Spirit wanted to send workers elsewhere so the churches could be planted, the church at Antioch was able to support that, because they had the deep resources of workers among their congregation to be able to accomplish that. We want teamwork in the Lord's work. Andrew and I want to be able to work together to accomplish this. Not because we are going to be accomplishing all these things. We know that God is working in this congregation, and it's the Lord's hand that we seek to be with us. Further, it's not that God is only going to be using us, but we hope to be a light that spreads the gospel in the community and encourages and equips you to be able to do that same sort of work. So we're going to be working side by side, planning together, working together, lifting one another up, following the lead of our shepherds as they guide us, and hopefully encouraging them as well, working together with the deacons in the congregation as they serve, supporting the teachers, and being alongside you as we strive to proclaim God's gospel, to equip you for the work of ministry. That is our work together. Now, that's kind of in general. I talked about all of that in a lesson a couple of weeks ago. What we want to do tonight is share with you very specifically how our teamwork is going to be envisioned, talking about some of the very specific roles and tasks that we're going to be doing. So that's what we want to share with you tonight. I'm excited about the plans that we have. I hope that by the time we're done tonight, you have a better understanding of what we're going to be doing individually and together, and that you'll be excited about the opportunities that we have for that. Before we speak any more about that, would you please bow with me in prayer? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for your great blessing, the greatest blessing, your Son Jesus, who died on the cross, that we might be with you for all eternity, that our sins might be removed, that we might be redeemed, that you might be glorified in us. Father, we pray that you would bless the work here among the Livingston Christians. Bless Andrew's work and my work, that we might bring glory and honor to you, equipping the saints here so that all will be involved in the work of ministry, so that we might equip one another, strengthen one another, edify one another, and lead others to you. Father, we long to be a congregation that makes disciples, developing disciples of all nations, helping people grow to honor you, to learn from you, to love like you, and to point others to you, all while abiding in your word. Thank you for this opportunity that we have. And be with us tonight, that we can explain things clearly, and that the congregation could be encouraged and motivated to join us in the work. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Andrew?
Working together, fulfilling the ministry of evangelists. The next scripture that we want to share with you is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, where the Holy Spirit, through Paul's pen, charges Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's the charge to Timothy. That's the charge to every Christian man that steps forward to take that mantle to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill it. Accomplish it. But what does that mean? What do you preachers do? I remember last year I was doing a gospel meeting up north, up in Indiana. And this brother took me to supper and he was talking to me for a minute. And he's like, well, did you ever have, you know, a real job before you started preaching? And I sip my tea. And I said, well, I just always sort of took this one seriously. Didn't know what else to say about that. But I'll tell you, I think there is some confusion, maybe even mystery. What is it that preachers do? What is it that evangelists do? And if you're adding another preacher or another evangelist, I hope all we're not accomplishing here is to double the confusion or double the mystery. We don't want that at all. And so what you have, and hopefully it looks a lot like this on the chart, is a paper with two circles on it, which is a Venn diagram, which we believe is the best way to visually communicate how we are dividing up the work of evangelists and what we're partnering to do together. And so if you have your paper, you're going to be able to fill in some things as we go along. And hopefully we'll all be on the same page, not only what the Bible teaches particularly about evangelists and the work we're to do, but then specifically what Edwin and I are going to be doing in partnering with the church here at Livingston. In Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, which has already been recorded or read a couple of times, I'd like to underscore with you the beginning there at verse 9. And this idea of a good return, a good reward for their labor. What's the benefit of having multiple preachers working with a local church? Well, we're going to do what we do better. We're going to do more of it. And we're going to be able to take on some new works and begin some new avenues of ministry and sharing the word as well. It allows us to multiply in our work. Now, where this is going to begin, I think, is a foundation, really, of devotion. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, we recall that the church at Jerusalem, there was some difficulties going on. Some of the widows in the congregation were being overlooked. And people came to the apostles and they wanted to know what to do about these things. And of course, the apostles' plan, led by the Holy Spirit, was really to bring about men to handle this. We would call them deacons or maybe proto-deacons. But the apostles' words are this, that they wanted others to do that work so that they could devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Well, look, Edwin and I are not apostles and we're not claiming to be. But we understand that primarily what the work of an evangelist is to be devoted in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And bringing that good news, that gospel, that word of God to people who need it. To take it to the lost, that they might be saved by the grace of God. To encourage and build up the saved in that faith. To be making disciples. And so this devotion, then, idea, spending time and spending time together, is really the first thing we'd like you to write in those circles. When you look at the work that we're doing together, and we bring it up here, we want to be spending some time together dedicated to communication about the work, to prayer together, to planning, some time of study and encouragement in the word for sure. But what is the foundation and what is the glue that's going to build trust to make for a good partnership in this work? Well, it's the same with any work. And that's good communication, good planning, and devotion to one another, to the glory of God, to the word of God, and to this work here at Livingston. So it starts with that. It starts with that. As we're going to work together to help in this next chart to achieve the circle of discipleship, bring these things about.
The circle of discipleship, of course, is something that's very important for our congregation. If you're our guest here tonight, this is our visual model of what we're trying to help produce. Disciples who honor God, who learn from God, who love like God, who point others to God, all while abiding in His Word. This is essentially going to outline the rest of our presentation tonight as we demonstrate our various emphases, if you will, in what we are going to do. As we talk about that, I kind of want to stress the word emphases.
It's a good word.
Because it's not, what we're not doing is, here's my job, Andrew doesn't touch it, here's Andrew's job, I don't touch it. We plan on working as a team, working together on all of these things. But there are certain emphases where Andrew will take the lead or where I will take the lead and the other will assume a kind of supporting role as we do that. And that's going to fill in some of the rest of this circle. So there are going to be some things that are in the middle of those circles that talk about what we are doing together. Then when you see those things in the outer circles, view those more as the emphasis that we're focusing on, one taking the lead, the other taking a supporting role, not Edwin does that, and don't ever talk to Andrew about it, or Andrew does this, don't ever talk to Edwin about it, but one of us will take the more leadership role in that, the other one a supporting role. So as we consider that, we want to start with that issue of honoring God, what happens here in the assemblies. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. We want to talk about the preaching that we are going to be doing in this time that we are together. I have no doubt that there will be multiple times of the year where we will have sermons that will be a whole lot like this, I hope, where we actually work together and we present something. But that's not going to be the norm. The norm is one or the other of us will be preaching, and basically the goal is to divide that up essentially in a 50-50 arrangement. Very simply, on a given Sunday, Andrew will preach in the morning and I'll preach in the evening, and then the next Sunday it'll flip-flop. I'll preach in the morning, he'll preach in the evening. Of course, when one of us is out of town, the other one will be doing the preaching. And our goal is not to ever be out of town at the same time. Certainly, we've got other men here who are very capable of preaching sermons, and so we're not afraid of that. We certainly believe there are numerous people that on any given Sunday we could hand over the pulpit and they could preach a fine, fine sermon that is motivating and encouraging and scriptural. And that's not why we're saying that. But just our goal is that one of us will be able to do the preaching, splitting it 50-50. When the other one is gone, I'll be doing it. But here's something I just have to share with you. I was in a two-preacher arrangement in Beaumont, Texas for almost 8 years. Now, I will admit that when I moved there, I was 22 and Max Dawson was old. But most of you know Max. One of the things that was really funny is it took about 4 years. There was one elder that every time there was an announcement and Max was out of town, he would say, well, Max is out of town and Edwin's filling in for him today. Well, I guess since I was 22 and 23, that was okay. But neither one of us is filling in for the other. When Andrew's out of town, I'm not filling in for him. And when I'm out of town, Andrew's not filling in for me. We're just doing our job. We're working and we're preaching. We're going to be dividing that up. So I just want to share that with you to understand and recognize that aspect of the work that we're going to be doing. This is, of course, a part of the honoring God. Mm-hmm. This part of our circle, our focus in our preaching is going to be about honoring God. Certainly, this is a time for learning as well. But our focus in these assemblies is helping us grow to honor God. Andrew?
All right. Evangelists point others to God and equip other disciples to point others to God. That's what we are about. And in Matthew chapter 28, in verses 19 and 20, we have Matthew's account, inspired account of the Great Commission. It was the mission to the apostles and those that would follow after them to go and to make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. What is the work of the church? What's the mission of the church? It is to make disciples. It is to make disciples. And I think it's so exciting, all the wonderful study and work that this congregation is doing to talk about that process and how it's going to look here at Livingston and really be thinking about it. But yeah, we want to be making disciples. So going to the next picture. That means quite practically that Edwin and I are both going to be available for individual evangelistic studies. And if you have a neighbor or have a friend and you want to set up a Bible study, we'd love to be part of that. We're going to be doing some things, following up with guests and other things to try and get some studies going. Of course, that's what we want to do, is to have opportunities to talk to people who are not Christians about what the gospel is and about what it means. And so we're going to be doing that. I think over on my side of the circles, we have the point others to God, populate the point others to God circle. And this goes back to our circle of discipleship. You're going to see it a couple more times tonight. But this is something that I'm working with, particularly with Edwin and the elders. We sort of know or hope at this point, what is it that all of the disciples do at Livingston to honor God, right? We assemble and we worship. We all do that. And what is it that all the disciples at Livingston can do to learn from God? Well, we can be involved in the Bible classes, right? That's the next step in the discipleship circle. And what is it that all the disciples can do to learn to love like God? Well, there's the house-to-house effort. That's so exciting and wonderful, and everyone can take part in that. And so what is it that all of the disciples can do to point others to God, to lead others to God? Aha! So, we're in a situation where we're not saying, well, we've got two preachers, so what all the disciples do is we watch these two preachers point others to God. But instead, part of the work of as an evangelist is to equip all the saints to do the work of ministry. That's in Ephesians 4. And so what's something that we all could do to point others to God? Well, I'm going to tell you that we've started preliminary work on an... started preliminary work on a dynamic web-based evangelism tool. And what we're wanting to build in the next few months is something that you can have on your phone or your tablet or a laptop that presents the gospel message to a neighbor, to a friend, that you can say to your coworker, do you have a few minutes after work today? I want to show you something. So that you can say to your, fellow student, between classes, if you've got a few minutes or a couple of minutes before ball practice starts, I want to show you something. And you can slide through it, and it'll just be fantastic. Now, I want to give you more details about it, but like I said, we've just started breaking ground on it. But I'll tell you what, it's got a great hook. I need good news today. I need goodnewstoday.com. I need goodnewstoday.org. I need goodnewstoday.net. I need goodnews.today. You type any of that in, you're going to get to the tool. And so we're going to build that tool. There's going to be equipping and training how to use that tool. And every one of you is going to be able to say, I know what disciples at Livingston do to point other people to God. I'm really, really excited about it. Really, really exciting about populating that part of the circle. We go back to the circles, and I think under my name is guest evangelism. This is something that Edwin has been working on. And so when we talk about emphases, we're looking at shifting the emphases, okay, from something that's been on Edwin's plate over to Andrew's plate. And so now Andrew's going to get to partner up with Joe Rose and the great team in the greeters and ushers and all of that with guest evangelism. And so I can't wait to get to do some training with people, to get to inspire some people, to draft some new people into that work, because it's so, so important that we follow up with the wonderful guests that we have here in this local church. And so I'll be working with guest evangelism. And then the next couple of things fall in line with that. The Point Others to God emails. When Bible studies are going on, don't you want to know about that? So you can pray about that. When you have a contact and a lead, someone that studies going on with it, wouldn't you want the whole church praying about that? And so here's a simple email list and tool that we're going to keep everyone informed about the wonderful work that's going on in evangelism. And we can all lift it up in prayer. We can all lift it up in prayer. Guest follow-up there is on my circle as well. Whether it's writing letters or making some calls, it just falls in line with that next level of guest evangelism. Well, that's a pretty good list, I guess, on my side of the circle. There's one more thing, though. There's one more thing that really falls under this idea of evangelists pointing others to God and equipping the church to point others to God. And that's this exciting new class about what it means to be a member at Livingston Church.
What about your new disciples class?
Was that on? Oh, that's better. So as the Lord blesses us with the increase, and we get to preach the gospel, and we get to baptize people, we're taking steps already to have good follow-up to encourage those people in the faith and in their first steps of faith. And I'm working on right now and authoring right now a new disciples class. And it'll be some studies that we'll go through with new Christians. Kind of the idea is welcome to the family of God. I'm a Christian, so what's next? These sorts of things. And so we need to be prepared as God is giving the increase to teach them the fundamentals of the faith as well as incorporate them into God's family here in this place. And incorporating them in God's family in this place is this exciting new class.
So we've done it a couple of times here, the Getting to Know Livingston class. Some of you have gotten to experience that. This really is, for the most part, part of our work in pointing others to God. Our goal here is when some folks do walk in off of the street and or you've invited somebody and they've come in and they're interested and they want to know more information about the congregation. This is a one-session class that they can go to and find out about the congregation. We talk about who the Christians at Livingston are. We talk about our standard of authority and how we establish authority. We talk about commitments of membership. And we talk a little bit even about congregational discipline and then what the next steps are. We are inviting, if you're a guest here and you want to know more information about the congregation, kind of our how we look at things, what our goals are. We run through the discipleship circle and the discipleship process. We invite you to sign up for that. Ultimately, we're probably going to do that about once a month. But right now, we're also asking all the members to go through it because it's new. The elders are asking all the members to go through this class. And so right now, we're running it about every other week. This is under my circle, essentially because we already got it started before Andrew was able to get on. So the material is mostly already prepared, though certainly it'll be tweaked as time goes by. Andrew and I will be teaching it. Probably some of the elders will be teaching it, maybe even some deacons at some point. But others will be, we'll be teaching that on a regular basis. So again, if you're a guest here, I'd like to invite you. If you're interested in more information about the congregation, we'd like for you to go sign up. You can go to our guest center that's out in the foyer. We've got a couple of sign-up sheets for the next couple of offerings of that. We had one this afternoon. I hope for the people that were involved in it, it was beneficial. I think they believed that. I know I certainly did. So if you're a member here, please make sure that you sign up for that sometime soon. And if I can just take another extra minute to explain why. We'd like you as the members to go through this class for two reasons. Number one, we want you to be comfortable with the fact that when you invite guests, they're going to hear about this class. They're going to be invited to go to this class. And we want you to be comfortable with them going to it. We don't want you to be scared. I wonder what's going on in that room. What on earth are they teaching them? We want you to know exactly what it is so that you will be comfortable inviting your friends and your neighbors and your family and your coworkers and having them be a part of that class. But there's a second reason why we'd like you to do that, and that is because now that we have this material, we really wish we had told you all that stuff before you became a member. But now you're a member. We'd like for you to hear some of these things kind of as a reminder. So we hope that that will be beneficial. So we're going to be continuing that. In the circle, we recognize, of course, that we honor God, we love like God, we point others to God, and we learn from God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." Timothy, as an evangelist and preacher, and this is so interesting, because as Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus and evangelists, it's interesting, he didn't actually say a whole lot in those letters about the teaching they were supposed to do people outside the church. Those letters are actually about their work within the congregation and the teaching they were supposed to be doing here. And so, while we have a lot of teachers, we understand that being fully devoted to this work means that we are going to be devoted to teaching within the congregation. So here's some things that we're both going to be doing together. Maybe. There it is. We're both going to be obviously teaching in our Bible class program. Maybe the emphasis there is going to be in the adult classes. However, I know that Andrew has very great interest in teaching in our young people's classes and the teens' classes. And so I know that's going to be happening as well. I'm sure that at some point I'll be able to do that as well. We're going to be moving along those lines, but we're both going to be involved in teaching in our Bible class program. We're both going to be involved in preparing class materials, especially what we teach, though hopefully having the ability to prepare things that will be in other classes that others can present as well. And we're going to be working side by side with the elders in helping develop our adult Bible class curriculum. That's one of the things that we struggle with. It's tough to be able to figure out what to do every trimester and who's going to teach. And so the elders are planning in our next huge all-day meeting with the elders and us as the evangelists. This is one of our big projects to work on. Mm-hmm. And just to say how exciting that is, it's those meetings that produced the discipleship circle and produced guest evangelism and produced house to house. And now we're going to be turning our attention to tweaking and improving our adult Bible class curriculum. And Andrew and I are going to get to be working together with the elders on that. For me individually, the adult auditorium class that we've been having, the journey through the Bible, that's going to continue to be something that I have the lion's share, developing that material. We hope that by the end of this 4-year run, that'll be some material that's pretty well set and then can go on for a couple of rounds through the whole Bible that others can take over and teach. I will be continuing the daily devotional blog that goes along with our Bible reading plan. That will continue to be something that I write and provide. And was anybody here this morning and learned about living with little leeks? That was not about the Israelites going back to Egypt. That was about people who let the little leeks build up in their spiritual house. And one of the things he talked about, having the daily devoted habit of Bible reading. Yeah. If you've already got a daily devoted habit, God bless you. Keep it up. Do whatever it is that you're doing to be in God's Word every day. If you don't, we've got something as a congregation that we're offering to you that many in the congregation are going through. You can find these little blue sheets, these blue folded pamphlets that are at almost every exit there in the back of the building. And you can pick up one of those and find the daily reading assignments. And then you can go to pursuingholinessinjesus.wordpress.com and you can subscribe and get a daily email. And I know this amazes you because I can't seem to preach a sermon in less than 45 minutes, but my goal is that blog every day is 10 sentences or less every day. So it's not something that you're going to open it up and it's going to take you 45 minutes to read it. It's 10 sentences or less. And we also have a little section on there, a word for our kids. I'm told by many they like that part better than the other thing that I write. So you might want to read that one instead. I don't know. But there's those two different little things there. So I'm going to be continuing that. Also, the Living Stones program, I will be doing the lion's share of the writing in the Living Stones program. Andrew will do some of the articles at times, but I'll be doing most of that and editing and preparing that as well. All of this, of course, is a part of what we're doing so that we can learn from God, because that's what disciples do. And if I could go ahead and talk for just a moment also about loving like God, what our plans are that we'll both be doing when it comes to the issue of loving like God. In John 13, 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We want to raise up disciples that love one another. And the main thing that we do, the process that we're doing as a congregation to help us learn to love one another, are our house-to-house meetings. And that's going to continue to be something that is the lion's share of what I am doing, the house-to-house meetings. I will be working closely with the elders on helping train our leaders, helping work with our hosts, helping develop new leaders, continuing the work that we're doing there. As you can see, I forgot to mention what we'd both be doing. We do view hospital and shut-in visitation as a part of our loving others, and we're both going to be involved in that. We're both going to be involved in that. We're certainly going to be looking to some of the brethren here that are just awesome at this to help us and to strengthen and support us. But that's certainly something that we're both plan on being involved in, that hospital and shut-in visitation. So this is pretty much the division of the labor that we're going to be involved in here. I hope that you can see that we've spent some time talking about this. We want this to go well. We want to bring glory to God. We want to help equip. We want to develop disciples. And I am convinced that two are indeed better than one. I am convinced that two are better than one, especially if one of the two is Andrew Roberts. And so I know that it's going to be a great team for us to be working together. And I'm excited for the work that we're going to be doing. And I guess I want to ask for your prayers. I know Andrew does as well. We need your prayers. We're nothing special. God is the one who's going to be accomplishing the work among this congregation. We are simply tools and instruments that God will use. And we're excited that you guys have entrusted us with part of this work here. And we ask for your prayers and your support. Andrew's probably not going to say anything about this. I want to ask you to especially pray right now, because they're in that really difficult situation that he's separated from his family for a couple of days. He's going to be going to pick them up. He'll be leaving on Tuesday, and they're going to be taking their time to get down here. The whole family will be here in a week. It's a tough transition. Some of you, anybody ever moved? Is that easy? No. So be praying for them, especially as their kids are going to be changing schools and getting used to a whole new setup and situation, and that this will just be smooth and it'll bring glory to God. Again, I'm so happy to get to be a part of this. Thank you for letting us do that.
I am too. Tell you what, let's do. Let's put our Bibles and our notes away and get out our songbooks. We're going to put this furniture away. And I'm going to leave you one last scripture, okay? Let me put this away. The passage I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. For we are God's fellow workers." Well, I want to go back to verse 8. God gives the increase. Verse 8. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." What a great passage here to think about. God's fellow workers in his kingdom, in his church. You know, I'm not sure how much FaceTime Paul and Apollos ever had. I know that Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas had a lot. But here are multiple workers that had an influence on the same church. I've been knowing Edwin Crozier for over 10 years. And he's been just a great friend to me. We've been a sounding board off each other. We've studied through books together. We've been an encouragement in the work. We've been partners in prayer. We've been confidants with our stresses and our issues and just been there for one another. I'm going to tell you that Edwin is to me a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you always have been. And I appreciate this opportunity to work with you, to be a partner in this place. But I know this. I'm going to give you all I got. And Edwin's going to give you all he got. But it's God that gives the increase. And we're believing. We're believing that God will give the increase. Because God will get the glory. And we're going to make sure to glorify Him. And I appreciate so much Edwin asking for prayers for us, for me and for my family. I've already told you, it means the world to me when you give me a prayer. And I'll take it every time. Please do. Please do. But I wonder tonight, as we draw this lesson to a close, this chat about how we're going to be working together in this congregation, I'm wondering if there might be another here who's ready to come with us. As part of the kingdom of God. To come with us. As part of the church at Livingston. We're about making disciples in this place. Do you want to be a part of that? We're about making a difference in this place. Do you want to be a part of that? I'll tell you what. We'll make disciples. And we'll make a difference. As we're honoring God. As we're learning from God, as we're loving like God, as we're pointing to others to God while we're abiding in God's Word. That's what we're going to do. And it may very well be that there's a person tonight who's ready to be obedient to that Word of God, that Word of Christ. It may very well be that tonight we could see the Lord give some increase. As if there is someone who's ready to confess their faith that Jesus is the Son of God and put Him on in baptism. We'd love nothing more than to take the next few moments to help you to take that step and to become a Christian. Or if you're a Christian here and you'd like to have the prayers of this congregation, that you might take the next steps of discipleship, that you might be able to overcome by the grace of God some struggle with sin in your life, if we could minister to any spiritual need. You don't need to sing this song right now. You need to come forward and make that need known. And we invite you to do it. Won't you please come forward now? Together we stand and sing.